Welcome to the Education Matters podcast. We got a really good conversation today. Capella's doing some cool things in our nursing program. And, you know, I think an online nursing program holds enormous potential, and we're really innovating in it. And we have a good conversation today with Christy Davidson. She lives in Mobile, Alabama, and she's the director of nursing at Capella. She's got a cool story about how she got into nursing, and then she got her doctorate in nursing practice, and now she's leading our program. She talks about some of the stuff that we're doing, the kind of getting the program off the ground, the accreditations that we've earned, and where we're headed. And I think most importantly, talks about what someone should consider if they're thinking about a DNP, Doctor of Nursing Practice, what factors go into that, and what a potential DNP student ought to be thinking about. So it's a really good conversation. Christy is full of energy and really charming, and I think one of the stars at Capella. I really enjoyed talking to her, and I hope you enjoy it as well. Thanks. All right. Welcome, Christy Davidson. How are you?
I am great, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. I felt like we needed a little variety in terms of accents on the podcast. And so we wanted to reach you down in Mobile and have a conversation with you. So thanks for making time.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
The most interesting part of these podcasts is to hear people tell their stories. And I think what would be most interesting from the perspective of folks working here at Capella and people thinking about nursing as a profession is just to hear your story. Where are you from? Where did you get your education? And how did you get into nursing?
Oh, well, sure. I'd be more than happy to share. So as you noted, I'm from Mobile, Alabama, so I'm from the Deep South. And when I think about my journey and how I decided to become a nurse, I can vividly remember one day I was a junior in high school, and I was sitting there struggling trying to decide what my career path would be. You know, did I want to be a teacher or did I want to be a nurse? And since most of my family, you know, had worked in the hospital industry or the healthcare industry, I did end up choosing nursing. So when I graduated high school, I went to the University of Mobile, and I pursued my BSN, and I did so with the singular desire to be a labor and delivery nurse. That's really the only thing I ever wanted to be.
Why?
So, and no, I love it. I love babies. It was just a big deal for me. When I graduated, I was lucky enough to secure a new position as a new grad as a labor and delivery nurse, and I loved it, worked night shift. But very quickly, I realized I wanted to do more than bedside nursing. So very quickly, within 6 months, I went right back to graduate school, did get my master's, went back to the University of Mobile, got my master's, and started working as a clinical nurse specialist on the labor and delivery unit. And so the clinical nurse specialist was really responsible for making sure that they, you know, educated the nurses on the unit and to be an expert resource for them. So I love that. But once in the professional industry, once you receive your master's, it opens a lot of doors for you. So that was the first time I really had the opportunity to kind of do both things. I was hired as a clinical adjunct at some of the local colleges to help the nurses that were going through with their first degree kind of get their training on the unit.
Yep.
So I started doing that, and I loved it, and then was recruited as full-time faculty at one of the colleges, a small private college here in Mobile, and was over the maternity and the pediatric division. So love that. And then one day I was at the hospital. I was with the students and we were doing our clinical rotation. And I ran into a former director and mentor of mine. And she said, Christy, I'm going back for my DNP and I really want you to go with me. And at the time, I really didn't know what this was. And I was like, okay. And I did it. And we went together and we were support for one another. And this is at the University of South Alabama. So
let's take a quick pause. What made both her and you feel like DNP was the right next step?
I think for us, because we were really passionate about our areas of expertise, our clinical expertise. And the doctor of nursing practice is a practice doctorate.
Uh-huh.
So it's very different than a research-focused doctorate, such as the PhD.
Yep.
So when this began to evolve about that time, it was like in the mid-2000s, we were kind of some of the early entrants. And the University of South Alabama was one of the first, not the first, but one of the first few cohorts that were starting this process. And we knew then, we had a feeling that we were on something that was kind of groundbreaking and that was going to be get some immediate traction once everyone started understanding what the DNP was all about. So we were really proud and happy to be some of the first ones to go through.
Mm-hmm.
So we completed together, and as soon as, and again, in the industry, once you get, you know, more degrees, you're able to do more things. So at the private college where I was, they had just started a kind of a hybrid graduate program, and I was then eligible to teach the MSN students because I had a doctorate.
Yep.
And it was hybrid, meaning it was online, some on ground. And when I did the online portion with the adult learners, I knew right away that I had found my calling. This is exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to teach online in the adult learner, because for that, it was really the traditional pre-licensure students, like 18 to 22, very traditional students. But the online learners were just something different. They were very intrinsically motivated, very passionate about their education, and that really resonated with me.
From there, how did you get connected to Capella? How did we connect with you?
You guys were the next step, because as soon as I started doing that, I started doing some research. Once I realized I really enjoyed it, I wanted to find other colleges that were doing similar things. And at the time, Capella, unbeknownst to me, was really starting the nursing program. It was kind of in its very infancy. So I came in as one of just a handful of part-time faculty members. And the minute I hit Capella, I knew this is where I wanted to be. So started in as part-time, and then very shortly after that, went to full-time and really helped with the two accreditations that we were able to secure. And then shortly after that, interim director, and here I am. Now I'm the director of the nursing program.
Talk a little bit about those two accreditations and what they mean and why they're significant.
They really are significant. The first two accreditations we went through were for the BSN and the MSN, and we are accredited through CCNE. And what that means is that, you know, with CCNE accreditation, that means that our programs have gone through a level of scrutiny to ensure that we provide the highest quality programs available. At the time we went through our first accreditations, we only had the BSN and MSN, but we were launching the DNP kind of in the middle there. And so very shortly the next year, we invited CCNE to come back and evaluate our DNP program. Right now, we're sitting with all three programs are accredited, and that's really important to us.
That's tremendous. Aside from helping us attain and earn these accreditations, what does the director of nursing at Capella do?
Well, our DNP program at Capella University is really focused to leadership. Learners that enter our program can be advanced practice nurses. They might be leaders within their organization. They may be educators. But the common theme that everyone who comes to Capella is seeking is leadership and making sure that they understand what quality improvement is all about, that they're able to identify gaps within their own organizations or places of employment, and then learn the skill sets to be able to fill those gaps and hopefully improve the outcomes for both their organizations and or their patient population.
Cool. Picking up on that, for the potential learner listening to this podcast and listening to you talk, they might be evaluating whether they do or don't need a DNP as their next step. What questions would you tell them to ask themselves as they're sorting that out, and how would you relate it back to your experience?
Well, it's a big question. So the first piece of advice that I would give anyone trying to decide if they want to go with DNP or a PhD is, you know, really figure out what your area of passion is. The fundamental difference between the DNP and, say, a research-focused doctorate is, say, the PhD is aimed at generating new knowledge. You know, you want to conduct research. You want to find out new things. The DNP is a really great complement to that particular degree because we take the work of the PhD, so to speak, the research, and we integrate it into practice. So you take the existing evidence-based practices or the research that is conducted, and you find the best ways to improve whatever the issue is at your places of employment or your organization. So you're seeking to improve based on some of the other literature that is already existing. So it's either A, you want to conduct the research yourself, or B, do you want to take the research that's already been done and make improvements based on what you learned?
And you've talked a little bit about it, opening doors for people. What are some of those doors, and how should they think about that and the opportunities that a DNP will open up in a career?
In our industry, in the healthcare and nursing industry, advanced degrees, just by virtue of having an advanced degree, are going to open doors. But with a DNP specifically, because you're able to identify problems, because you're able to see, the one thing that I walked away with my DNP is that I saw things in a different light. You move from what we call the microsystem of very small units, like I worked on a labor and delivery unit and I knew how to function there, to the macro system, to I can see now from an organizational system-wide how I can make big changes there. bigger and beyond what I could have done as a staff nurse. So you can open up doors as being a nurse manager or a quality improvement manager or even a chief nursing officer or any position that would really tap into and use the skill set of a DNP, especially one in leadership.
Excellent. You touched a little bit on the industry of nursing. Talk about in your time, and I don't want to date you here, but since you've been a nurse, what changes have you seen in nursing? I mean, the healthcare is such a dynamic field. It's always undergoing change. And as more and more of our economy becomes a healthcare economy, I think that change accelerates. How have you seen the role of nurses and the profession of nursing change?
When I become a nurse, and I'll go ahead and tell you, you know, it was like in 1995 is when I first started, you know, as a staff nurse. And things have evolved a great deal. When I was a nurse, really, my focus was on my patient load, you know, how many I had for the day, 6 to 8, depending on what was going on, if I was taking care of the postpartum mom. And it was very, you really work in silo. I mean, you come in, you clock in, and you do your work. And the things have changed so rapidly in healthcare in terms of quality and what our expectations are, and even how hospitals are reimbursed. Uh-huh. You know, we used to be reimbursed on the, it's very volume driven based on how many patients and how many diagnoses we have. And now it's value driven. Now it is, you know, our organizations are really held accountable for our patient satisfaction scores, for how well we're delivering care. And so if we fall short on any of these metrics, then we're not going to get the reimbursement that we could and should have. So everyone plays a part. Every nurse plays a part. And I think that it's becoming really clear that nurses at the forefront can make a huge impact. The second piece is, I think, as an industry, we're moving from an acute care focus, meaning most of our healthcare for decades has been really at the hospital level. Mm-hmm. But now we're really moving into more of a community base. So, you know, we're trying to keep patients in their home. We're trying to keep patients to where we can reach them a little better. And so that's kind of requiring nurses to diversify their skill set. Instead of being able to only work at a hospital, maybe they need to know these other types of skill sets that make them more marketable in the community. It's really evolved from really working at the bedside, taking orders from a physician, to really being cross-functional team players and informal leaders at the bedside.
I read a lot of articles, it seems like every week, on nursing shortages or pending nursing shortages, right? As a demographic shift takes place in the country and more baby boomers retire, it's going to affect all kinds of sectors, but it's going to impact nursing pretty acutely. We're going to see a lot of nurses retire in the coming decade. How important a national problem is that, and how much of a role can scalable programs like online learning play in helping to fill that gap behind this large population of retiring nurses?
I think in nursing, we've seen this as a very cyclic kind of phenomena. Mm-hmm. So as we are now approaching again a cycle where we're going to go into some nursing shortages, it's really important for us as an online provider to be able to help fill that gap in a couple of different ways. First of all, we do know that the research shows that nurses that hold advanced degrees deliver more quality care. Okay, we've got that evidence. So, you know, we're able to help meet the Institute of Medicine's recommendation of nurses to have their baccalaureate degree. The other piece of the puzzle that sometimes we don't speak a lot about is that we have a lot of people that want to be nurses. But with the retiring workforce, not only are we losing nurses who are retiring from the bedside, we're also losing nursing faculty. And so we've got to be able to fill that pipeline of nursing faculty who require a master's degree or above to be able to teach the students in these undergraduate pre-licensure programs. Because if you don't have faculty, then we won't be able to fill the seats. We may have open seats at all the colleges across the university, but if you don't have a faculty member to teach them, then it's pointless. So it's kind of a twofold issue.
That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So nursing faculty is going to be another little piece of the puzzle that I think we're going to be uniquely positioned to help fill.
I've read less and heard less about that, but it just makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a couple more questions. So, Christy, what are your best days as director of nursing at Capella? What is a good day, a really good day for you?
A really good day for me. Well, I know this sounds, I'm not sure how this is going to come across any, but most every day is a really great day at Capella University. And the reason why it is because, you know, at the end of the day, when you think about nurses and what we've done, had some pretty rough days on the unit.
Yeah.
And the challenges that we experience at Capella are kind of pale in comparison a lot of times. And so every day I wake up and, you know, I work with some of the most amazing team members that you could ever ask for. I think what makes Capella unique, at least for me, or makes it such a great place to work, is that the people that I work with every day, whether it be in products or marketing or enrollment or advising, everybody collectively is as passionate about the success of our program as I am. Even if there might be differences of opinion, or they all end up getting worked out, because at the end of the day, we all have the same focus. And it's just really, the other great thing about Capella is just how innovative everyone is. I don't think I've ever been told no when an idea comes across. It's like, well, let's see if we can work it out. Or, you know, so it's always fun to kind of be on the cutting edge of new things, to have people as engaged and as inspired as I am on a daily basis.
I loved that answer. Thank you. One of my last questions. Do you miss being in the delivery room?
I would not be honest if I said I do miss it from time to time. I do miss my patients. I miss taking care of the babies. But what really keeps me going is that what we do here at Capella is inspiring the lives of others and inspiring those to go out and make a difference every day. So even though I may not be one-on-one with my patients, I feel that collectively everybody that works for the nursing department helps improve the lives of others on a bigger scale. So that kind of makes up a little bit for it, I guess.
Well, good. We have a really cool and growing and exciting nursing program at Capella that is growing and doing some really, really cool things, and a lot more cool things to come in 2015, 2016, talking about, you know, picking up on the innovation that you were talking about. And it's one of the most exciting parts at Capella. And Christy, you're a huge, huge part of that. And I just really appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your day and jumping on the phone with me here and talking about what we're doing.
No problem, Mike. Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a great one. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye.